us.
The first Bible reading is Psalm 130, which you'll find on page 624 of the Church Bibles. A Song of Ascents. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Anne. And our second reading is going to be...
Our second reading is taken from Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And you may find this on page 1053. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacharias. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I've got my notes, but I'm not sure that I'll be sticking to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, that your Spirit will open our spiritual ears so that we may hear and receive your word. May your word challenge us, encourage us, and may we meet with you in your word this morning. Amen. Well, Richard has taken a little burden off of me this morning because I knew he was going to do the first reading, and when we met on Friday, I said to him, I'm preaching, and all this week there's that chorus that's been going through my mind, and I really felt that the Lord was going to ask me to sing. Thank you, Lord, that you asked Richard in my place. Well, it was a short gospel reading, a short story, a short man. I don't know about the sermon, if it'll be short or long, but we'll see. First of all, I want to tell you about someone that I knew when I was a teenager, my friend Zach. In fact, he wasn't really a friend. I didn't like him much, and nobody liked him much. He wasn't a very nice person, quite obnoxious, actually. But why? Well, Zach was very short. And you know, when you are very small, you often try to lord it over other people. You have to show them that in some way you're better or stronger. And this is what Zach did, and it didn't really make him very appealing to people. And on top of that, he was a cheat. He always wanted to be top of the class. So he always had a little something written on his hand to remember. I don't know if you did that at school. I didn't like Zach. And I was president of the Christian Union at school, and I mean, I didn't want anything to do with someone like him. I knew who was a sinner and who was saved. I knew how to judge. I was a bit like a Pharisee. Many years later, I met someone from school, and he said, well, I'm going to have coffee with Zach. Would you like to come and have coffee with us? And I thought, wow, Zach. He said, come on. And I went to meet Zach, and I saw someone completely transformed. No, he hadn't grown. But instead of being bitter and proud, he was humble, soft, gracious. And I said, but Zach, you've changed. How come? And he said, well, you should know. You knew all the stories in the Bible. Don't you remember the story about Zacchaeus? Last week, we learned about another man called Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, the blind man, was healed as Jesus came into the town of Jericho, which is about 15 to 20 miles from Jerusalem. And we learned that Jesus is at the beginning of his last days and his determined walk to Jerusalem where he is going to die. And today we're meeting a new man in the same town of Jericho, Zacchaeus. And what do we know from the Bible reading? Zacchaeus was a little man. We know that he was the chief tax collector, and that he was very rich. The Romans were occupying the region at that time, so Zacchaeus was working for the enemy. No one likes a tax collector, but even when he's not working for the enemy, so Zacchaeus wasn't very popular. And if he was rich, it was because he'd probably taken a lot off on the side. People probably made fun of Zacchaeus. Why? Because Zacchaeus is the shortened name of form of Zachariah. And Zachariah means the righteous one, the just one. And we know that Zacchaeus wasn't at all righteous. But Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't. There was no grandstand put along the side of the road so that people could climb up and get a good view. And he was going to be behind all that crowd that was coming along. And he could hear the crowd coming. He could see the dust rising from all the feet that were trampling along the road beside Jesus. What could he do? There was only one way, climb up a tree. Now, Jericho was known for its palm trees. You can't imagine a short man climbing up a palm tree. And even if he got up to the top of a palm tree, you can't rest on the branches of a palm tree. No, the Bible tells us that it was a sycamore tree, a much shorter tree with a solid trunk, wide branches and leaves. Many leaves where he could be hidden from view. It's not very dignified to see a senior civil servant climbing up a tree and sitting on a branch. The crowd was stopping Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. What is stopping us from seeing Jesus? What is stopping us from drawing closer to him? We see that Zacchaeus had a certain determination. He wanted to see Jesus. He didn't need anything, like the blind Bartimaeus. He wasn't hoping for anything. He wasn't expecting anything, but he was curious. But maybe he was a little frightened, because people had started saying that this Jesus was going to rule in Israel. And if Jesus became the ruler, then the Romans would be out, and he'd probably lose his job. So there he was, this senior civil servant, undignified, up in the tree, where he could see and not be seen. And Jesus, surrounded by all this crowd, walking along, preaching, teaching, and he stops. He doesn't stop in front of the synagogue. He doesn't stop because there is someone pleading with him to heal him. He stops because he wants to meet with Zacchaeus. And can you imagine Jesus walking by here this morning, and he stops because he wants to meet with you? Jesus stops and he looks up. Jesus didn't look down on Zacchaeus any more than he looks down on any of us. Jesus looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was hidden by the leaves, but Jesus saw him. Jesus sees into our heart when everything is hidden on the outside. In Psalm 139, the King David says, "You know when I sit and when I rise. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go where you can't see me anymore? Where can I flee from your presence? Surely the darkness will hide me." But the darkness becomes light to you. We can't get away from Jesus. No, I don't have a picture to put on the screen of this Zacchaeus climbing up the tree, probably because I couldn't find one. But I'd just like you not to think about Zacchaeus for a moment, but maybe to close your eyes and think about yourself. What can Jesus see in you? What can he see in your heart this morning? Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it anger? Is it weakness? Is it sickness? Can Jesus see my sin? Oh, yes. But what does Jesus see in me? What does Jesus see in you? Someone to be loved. Someone to die for. Zacchaeus. He knows his name. Zacchaeus. In Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord says, I have called you by your name. You are mine. Zacchaeus, you are mine. You don't know it yet. Zacchaeus, you are mine. And as Claire said before, in Isaiah as well, chapter 49, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. You are continually before me. Our name is written on his hands. Our name is written on his heart. Zacchaeus. But the crowd heard his name as well. The Pharisees heard his name. What on earth is the Lord doing talking to him? He's asking him to come down. He needs a talking to. He's going to get a dressing down. He's a thief and a swindler. But Jesus didn't listen to the crowd. He didn't hear anything from Zacchaeus either, because Zacchaeus didn't have any time to speak. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. Don't waste time. It's now or never, the occasion will pass. It's now or never the time for you to come and meet me. Don't let this moment go by without coming into my presence. Don't put it off. Jesus doesn't say you must come down, but Jesus says, uses the word must for himself. He says, I must come to your house today. I must, because Jesus was on a mission. And his mission was to come into Zacchaeus' house and into his heart. Knocking on the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Did you hear? There is no mention of a meal in this gospel reading, though I believe in the chorus that Jesus wanted to come to tea, but we'll see about that later. No mention of a meal, but Jesus says, I want to come and stay in your house. To stay, to remain, something permanent. And the verb that Luke uses here, which is translated as stay, is the same verb that Paul used in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prays that Christ may dwell, this verb, dwell, in your hearts by faith. Jesus wanted to come not only into Zacchaeus' house, but into his heart and to remain in his heart. Pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and established in love, may grasp with all the saints how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That is what Jesus was proposing to Zacchaeus. That is what Jesus is proposing to us. Not just coming for a short visit, not just coming for a quick fix, okay, you're saved, bye-bye. He has come to remain in our hearts, to dwell, so that we may know that we are established in love, that we may know the fullness of the measure of the love of God. excuse me if I get a little excited, to know the full measure of the love of God. Please, please come down from your tree. Let him in to your heart. Feel his love. This is what Jesus wanted for Zacchaeus. This is what he wants for us. Zacchaeus was a thief, a Pharisee, not a Pharisee. He was a thief and a tax collector. But in chapter 18 of Luke, Jesus tells a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee was saying to everyone, see how good I am. I pray and I do everything that I should according to the law. And the tax collector next to him, we read, the tax collector standing afar off would not so much raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus had seen the tax collector in the same way that he saw Zacchaeus, and he gave this tax collector as an example. And in this same chapter 18, there's another story about another rich man, a young rich man, who came and flattered Jesus. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I've kept all the commandments. I've done everything that the law requires of me. But Jesus said, give away everything, then come and follow. What was the result? The rich young man became very sad. He could not give away his riches. The young rich man, very sad. But we read that Zacchaeus received the Lord with gladness. Before, Zacchaeus thought that Jesus couldn't be interested in him. But suddenly, because he has heard his name, he knows that the Lord not only is interested in him, but somehow he feels that he loves him. He wants to come and live with him. Maybe before he thought, as the crowd, that he needed a good talking to or a dressing down. But he welcomed Jesus gladly. He couldn't resist Jesus' invitation. Well, to invite him to his house. But how do we welcome Jesus? Zacchaeus felt that he could trust Jesus. He felt his love. And I pray that all of us here this morning can feel the love of Jesus, can feel his desire to meet with us, to live in us, so that we too may welcome him with joy. So Jesus comes into Zacchaeus' house. I'm sure they did have a meal together. That would have been the custom. And they must have had a good chat over the meal. They must have had a conversation, a private conversation. We know nothing of what passed between the two of them. Zacchaeus' past life was a secret, now hidden with God. We know that Zacchaeus was dramatically changed by his meeting with Jesus. How do we know? Not because we had seen his joy when he first welcomed Jesus in. But this swindler, this cheat, this rich tax collector said, Lord, here and now, not I'm thinking about next week maybe doing something. No, Lord, here and now, I give four times the amount that I have taken from people. And this was the legal amount that you had to give if you had stolen something. You had to repay back four times. So there, Zacchaeus had really done what the law required of him. And he says, now, on top of that, I give half of all my belongings to the poor. Jesus hadn't asked that of him. Jesus had asked nothing of him except to come and live in him. But the result of Jesus dwelling in Zacchaeus was that his life was dramatically changed. Spontaneously, he became generous. Why? Because he had been touched by the gracious love of Jesus. Grace. Amazing grace. Before, Zacchaeus had been curious. Now he is convinced. Before, he had been hopeless. Now he is happy. Before, he was sinful. Now he is saved. What had happened? Jesus says in verse 9, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. He already was a son of Abraham because he was part of the people of Israel. He was a descendant of Abraham. But he wasn't classed as a Jew by the Pharisees. He was classed as a Gentile because of his profession. A tax collector was not worthy to be Jewish. But now he had been re-established in that relationship with Abraham because of his faith. We know that Abraham walked by faith. A son of Abraham by birth, now a partaker of his faith. And this faith and this salvation is offered to everyone. I must come to your house today. I must go to Jerusalem. Why? Jesus tells us in the last verse, I have come to seek and to save all those who were lost. Sometimes Jesus has to search, to seek, because we want to hide away from him. And I spent a long time trying to hide and trying to run away from Jesus. Just thank him that he can run faster than me and that he caught up with me. He came to seek and to save. Zacchaeus didn't seem to be actually seeking to meet with Jesus. He just wanted to see him. But Jesus came seeking him as he comes to us, to save us, to dwell in us, in spite of who we were, to give us a new life in him, a fresh start, new beginnings, undeserved. Yes, but poured out in grace. The vilest of human beings can be transformed in a flash by his amazing grace. Are we despised? Are we looked down on? Are we criticized? Do we despise ourselves? We don't have to climb a tree to see Jesus. Just open the word. In Ephesians again, chapter 1, Paul prays this, I prayed that the Lord will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be opened so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, that you may know. Amazing grace. I'm going to come back to Zach. Oh, Zach, you have changed. He says, you know what, Sylvia? You have changed. Yes. Because when I knew Zach as a young girl, I was a Christian. I was saved. And I was a bit like a Pharisee. I had received salvation, but I wasn't aware of that amazing grace. I wasn't aware that Jesus wanted to really live in me and communicate his love, his saving power in my life. And I was not gracious to others. For a few years, I deliberately walked away from the Lord. And then graciously, he brought me back. And I realized that the Lord had been doing in my life what he had done for Peter. Before Peter betrayed the Lord said, I will pray for you that you will keep your faith. And when you come back to me, you can lead my sheep. I had to fall from grace to know what it was like to walk in the world, to be aware of the amazing grace, the amazing love that Jesus showed to me when he brought me back. So that today I can humbly share this grace and this love with you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but